The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
Dr. Brian Halverson is one of the UK's leading holistic dentists. He is the author of Great Teeth for Life and lectures widely to the public and to health practitioners. Brian is passionate about providing preventative information to guide us through all the stages of our lifetime. To find out more about Brian, go to www.brianhalverson.com. And now here is Dr. Brian Halverson.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Hi, Brian here, the Integrated Dentist for UK Health Radio. This show is dedicated to what I believe, in my estimation, one of the most beautiful people that I've ever come across, Lucinda Drayton.
Oh, that's a very nice introduction, thank you.
Lucinda is, in my mind, beautiful in so many ways. She has the most beautiful voice and will be playing some of her tracks later. But also, if you look at holistic, she has got, to me, the most beautiful mind, body, spirit. And it was while I was on a quest myself at the Brahma Kumaris that I actually came across Lucinda. And I can now say that I have the privilege of actually spending some time with her. And it has been an enriching procedure, which I hope for our listeners, you will see where I'm coming from. Lucinda, where did it all start?
It's very nice to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me. Okay. Oh, crumbs. That's a really good question. Well, I've always been obsessed with music since I was very tiny. So I wrote my first song when I was about six. And I was always asking questions, you know, why are we here? Why do people suffer? Is there a God? I was very interested in all those big questions when I was very young. So the music and the kind of search for truth have always been pretty to me. Creativity, my feeling is that way to the spiritual dimension, if you like, or the non-logical dimension.
Great. So when did you think about being an actual musician in terms of thinking as a career?
Well, I did my first gig in front of an audience in a pub when I was about 15. I joined a band at 15. And I think my father came home from that gig. He came to see me and he said to my mum, well, we've lost her. And so I think he knew and I knew then that this was what I wanted to do. I was just so happy being with a band, rehearsing in a village hall and doing gigs. I just loved it, absolutely loved it.
And when did you realise that you had a really what I regard as a very special voice? I don't want to put you on the spot, of course, but
I'm just thinking about it. I would prefer to sound like Aretha Franklin. I think she, you know, if I was to say who's got a special voice, it'd be Marvin Gaye or Aretha Franklin I suppose I don't really rate my voice amongst the singers that I would put on a pedestal. But I think what I bring to it that is maybe a little bit different or unique is the training of my mind, because I spent so many years training the mind that the way I practice my meditation when I sing perhaps brings through a quality that some people feel or hear.
I think that's exactly, besides having that gift of a voice, it does come through that emotion at a higher level. And I think this is what people recognise. And again, for my listeners, you know, if you haven't listened to Lucinda before, then please do, because her music actually has helped people, if I may say, from recovering from comas, if I'm not correct.
That's right, yep.
And certainly it transfixed me at a time when I was literally going through a few, what should we say, dark patches. Yeah. And I used to listen to you every night, the 100,000 Angels album, and it gave me great consolation. And I believe that things sank in even when I was actually asleep.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. And, you know, and I don't take any kind of, I don't really take any accolade for that, really. I just think I was tuning in and I was used in a beautiful way at that time for that particular album, and sometimes, you know, continue to be. But yeah, you're certainly not alone. I've met people who said it literally stopped them killing themselves. I've met people who come out of comas, given birth to children. So I, you know, that's amazing. I mean, I just, who knows what's going on there? Some kind of magic that is way beyond what I'm capable of working.
Well, I think you're being modest, because besides your music, I understand you do an awful lot of things that involve improving people's health and well-being. Could you describe a few of the things that you actually do?
Well, I run groups. I'm an accredited counsellor, so I trained as a counsellor in 2012. But I'm training with an organisation in the Midlands called The Reach Approach, which is an amazing organisation, who believe that, you know, human well-being and health has to be approached from a very synergistic point of view. So we have to take care of our minds, our bodies, our environments and our spirits. So we need meaning and purpose. We need great nutrition. We need exercise, hydration. We need, you know, an environment where we feel safe and supported. And we need something for our mind to chew on, some kind of practice of meditation or affirmation, something to feed our minds with. So it's this holistic approach to wellness that I'm fascinated by, of which music is a part.
Yes, I think music is a very, very powerful part. And as you know, the classics like some of Mozart's helps people from all sorts of things. And I believe that what you're doing yourself is being a modern version of that. But rather than sort of, I know you modestly say that it's come from somewhere else, but in effect, you are proactively trying to bring this spiritual level to your music and to your singing.
Yes.
And I think where I really was, and I'd ask you how you got involved, but when I went to the Brahma Kumaris, and it was where I was looking at the finding a little bit of a different meaning at a spiritual level.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with them?
I met them when I was very young, so I would have been 23. I was already asking some pretty deep questions by then. I was interested in the subconscious mind. I'd read that book, the 70s book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. I was dabbling with hypnosis and reprogramming the unconscious. And then my partner started meditating with the Brahma Kumaris, and I sort of held off going for a long time, thinking that he needed something for himself. But then I thought, no, this is too interesting. And I walked into this little house in Slough, and I was just hit by the vibration that I could feel in the house, of peace and of depth and silence. And so I just started going every day, you know, and I did that for many, many years, 15, 16 years, studying with them, practicing, cleaning up my eating habits, the way I thought. So it was a huge training for me, huge.
Then I find what is amazing is the fact that there, it's not about pushing a particular religion, meaning a type of format that you need to follow to fit in with, call it your parishioners. And this is what I find so refreshing, that you can come at it from any what I'll call religious aspect, because what you're really getting is, in fact, as far as I can see, a spiritual well-being.
Yeah, that's how I experienced it. Yeah, definitely. And and for me, a reconnection with the divine or God or whatever you want to call that. But I mean, for me, that was a palpable and powerful experience, which I still do daily.
Yes, I think that it's something that you really just cannot just say, been there, done it. It's something you have to live it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the big that's the challenge, to actually speak, to actually live the things you might speak about. It's very easy to talk about, you know, peace or wellness or even self-care, something like self-care, you know, take care of yourself, sleep well, eat well. But that's really hard work. You know, it's really, you have to be disciplined and you have to practice it. So I'm still learning, Brian. It's a daily thing.
Well, I'm considerably older than yourself, and I think I'm only just beginning the journey. But But however, I must admit, it was not last August bank holiday, but the one before, at the Oxford Centre, where there was the Peace on the Park.
Yeah, yeah.
And my wife and I just thought that it was like, if only the world could be like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. They certainly know how to create a little bit of heaven on earth. I mean, everything they do is done with such care. I mean, even the gardens just feel like a little bit of heaven, really. It's well worth a visit.
And of course, you know, you were actually performing, which was an absolute treat. Yourself and Marcus.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great time. It was beautiful.
What's interesting as well was that most of the people who spoke were not what I would call professional speakers, but the clarity and the vision that they managed to convey in their speeches and talks, to me, was just outstanding. How you could, by just purely being, I suppose, at a different level, that you could increase the communication. It was, to me, just a magical experience.
Yeah, oh, that's lovely. I'll pass that on. They'll be very happy that you experienced that. And I agree with you. But I think when you meditate, what happens is there is an increased clarity in your thinking, because you learn to slow everything down. And so there is an increased clarity.
Absolutely. Now, getting back to your music, besides your beautiful voice, it's also beautiful words, and it conveys such strong images, and they're nearly always of a positive nature. Where did this come from?
My meditation practice, really. I think the songs ask a lot of questions. I hope they're not saccharine. They're deep songs. They are asking a lot of questions. But I did have some incredibly profound experiences in meditation, and I'm just telling the truth. I'm not making it up. And I think that's why they have power, because if you tell the truth, then at least what you're speaking about is authentic. You know, you're not busking. You are just saying, this is what happened.
I would absolutely agree. They are very challenging. And I think that when we play 100,000 Angels, I think people will immediately, if they've not listened to it before, feel that they are going through a totally different experience. And I'd certainly advise to listen many times, because I think that it's like a lot of great literature. Sometimes every time you listen to it, something new triggers in your mind.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you. I mean, if you listen to 100,000 Angels, which was obviously quite a number of years ago, if you were to fast forward to my recent album, The Road Least Travelled, there's a song on it called I Will Rise, which is talking about the shadow and the light together. So I think that's the kind of journey I've been on. I was, for a long period, experiencing incredible moments of grace as I practiced deeply with the Brahma Kumaris. And then I had to go through kind of like a lot of human challenge and loss in my life. And that brought me to a new position, this position I feel I'm in now, where I can talk about kind of both sides and the emotional work that we have to do. You know, you don't get to bypass that. And it's work, you know?
Yes, and of course, life is about duality.
Yes.
You cannot escape the fact that, as you say, you cannot always look at the saccharine sweet, you know. And I think that often what people relate to is when, you know, you can share common experiences, especially at a much deeper level.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose that's what I'm trying to do now. And again, it's just authenticity. You know, I am just telling the truth about what my experience has been.
So with your musical career, what has been your main objective? Because it hasn't been, now I may be completely incorrect about, for example, being on The X Factor.
Oh, no. No, I think that would really kind of freak me out a bit now. But I mean, there's no doubt that as a young aspiring artist, I was driven, and I was caught up in the river of our definition of success. You know, which is, you know, you've got to be on telly, or you've got to have a great record deal, or, you know, I wasn't immune to that. I wanted to sing to thousands of people with great musicians, and that would have been wonderful. It didn't happen, and now I can honestly say I'm incredibly grateful and humbled to sing to small gatherings with great musicians who I do still get to work with, because that's what musicians do. It's not about the money for them. They will work for you for not a lot of money, because they respect what you do, or they're interested in the project, or because they want to play. And that's why I absolutely love musicians. I mean, I recently was in British Grove Studios with an artist called Russell Stone, who's also a psychotherapist. So we work together quite a lot, but a great singer. And he'd gathered together and the most amazing collective of session musicians. And it was just the most wonderful day, or couple of days of recording. And you know, everybody was doing it on a shoestring. But we love to do it. That's what we're here to do. We want to share our gift, you know. So it was incredible.
That's great. Now, we will repeat it, but if anyone wants to be able to access your music and your associates, where would they go to?
My website, lucindadrayton.com. And that has all the gig dates, the workshops, and all the albums that you can download, MP3 or CD. The CDs are running out. I can't afford to keep pressing them. So some of them are MP3 only now, and some of them will only be available for a short time. So if you want to own CD, then buy quickly, I would say.
Okay, now we're into what I will call the festive season.
Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed listening to your what I'll call seasonal contribution, which I understand is Snow in the Street.
Snow in the Street, yes. I finally did it. I've been trying to make a Christmas album for about 10 years probably, and we finally said we're going to do it this year, because I love Christmas, and I love I love those songs. I love the carols and the nostalgic Christmas songs. So I've picked my favourites, and we've arranged, Marcus has arranged them beautifully, and we're really pleased with the way it's come out.
No, I must admit, we love listening to it, and I think you're absolutely right that I think that although you know, Christmas is, I, for my own mind, something which is really related to Christianity, I also believe that the atmosphere, or the correct atmosphere, is not the commerciality, but the sort of goodwill to all men, and that side of it, to me, I always enjoy this time of year.
I agree. I love it. I just love it. I suppose my family have always loved it. And so for me, it's about going home. It's about spending time with people I love, singing all these wonderful songs, and, you know, maybe going with my parents to church, which is fine. But, you know, even if you think about the Christian tradition, this incredible soul who came into the world and spread a message of love and forgiveness and goodwill. So I'm very happy to celebrate that, as along with Buddha and Allah and all the other great, you know, leaders, all of them.
Yes, without going too far into a distraction, I don't know if you have actually read Power versus Force.
By who?
By David Hawkins, a medical doctor.
Do you know what? I have it on audiobook. I do. I have it on audiobook. He's a he's into kinesiology, isn't he?
Absolutely correct.
Yes, and it's quite hard going, I have to say, but I've got it on audiobook, and I have listened. I haven't finished it yet, but it's fascinating.
It's just that the reason I brought it up was the fact that kinesiology is about telling the truth, and your muscles will strengthen.
Yes.
And because I just thought about it, was the fact that he actually graded the most truthful people that walk the planet.
Yeah.
And number one was actually Jesus.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
And this was
I haven't got to that bit. There you go. I mean, yeah. But the trouble is, we get obsessed with this. We get caught up in the celebrity of the man or the person, and we forget the message. The message was very simple. You know, love thy neighbour, don't steal, treat people well. And we get caught up in all the other stuff.
And unfortunately, it's leading to so much stress and anxiety, which really shouldn't be, especially this time of year.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we've actually stopped that this year. We're buying one present. You know, we're doing a secret Santa, so you don't have all that stress of, well, what am I going to get everybody? And it's lovely. And one year we actually gave the money to charity as well, and that was nice too. Because I don't need any more stuff, you know. My house is full. I'm throwing stuff away. I'm a minimalist. I'm trying to get rid of stuff.
Absolutely. And I think we all find that when we do this, that we become so much literally lighter in ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's when I said, when I talked earlier about environment affecting you, you know, if your environment is clean and clear, you feel better. You feel more peaceful.
Yes. And as you say, it's something that it's not a given. We all have to work at these things, you know. And I think that really it doesn't matter where you are in society or the wealth or anything else. You know, I always was very much looking at things like, I think they used to call it affluenza.
Yep. That's fantastic.
And it's not to say that money, wealth is not something that should be regarded as evil, but it's not really what we're here to place. And I must admit, you know, meeting you and listening to your songs, I found that you're great at bringing it in a musical way, which I think is a very profound way of going deep to actually get this sort of message across, that it's not about what we are.
No, absolutely, but who we are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
watch her fly free across the still of the dawn. And if peace were a mountain, we'd gather to bathe in her silence, her power, her call. If wisdom could sing or whisper his secret, eternally teaching the ways of the free. In my mind I can see them, I hear them, and I feel them. Sit on.
Now, yes. Lucinda, getting back to your, I understand that you are actually touring or you've got some gigs, if I may call it that. How are they going in terms of, is there room for other people to possibly book up?
I think the Maidstone one is sold out. So that's on Saturday. It's as quite a small venue in Kent. That's sold out, but there's still places for Redditch, for Cambridge, Cardiff, Cornwall, Falmouth, and Kew in London, beautiful venue called the Barn Church, and another venue in South London, which actually is also helping support links with people in Sierra Leone. So it's all on the website. I know one is sold out, but the rest, I think there are places.
Right, and again, because obviously sometimes people don't catch, where would they go to look to get some bookings?
So it's lucindadrayton.com.
Great. Okay, yes, because my wife and I are booked in to Kew, actually.
Oh, lovely. Oh, you'll love it. It's such a beautiful place. It's like this wooden church in the middle of all these houses. You just sort of come across it. It's like a little oasis. It's gorgeous.
That's great. And I'm absolutely sure from being at your other gigs that it will be the most uplifting, experience that anybody could wish for. And I defy anyone to walk out afterwards without a nice smile of contentment on their face.
Oh, you're so lovely. Thank you, Brian.
Now, this is a personal thing. When is your Cornwall gig?
It's on the 21st of December in Falmouth in a bistro called the Olive Grove, which I used to do quite regularly down there, but haven't done for a while. But it's very friendly. It's organised by a wonderful woman who runs an organisation called the Heart of Change. So it's always just a great gathering.
Oh, great. Now, it's a shame because we're down on the 23rd, so we'll miss that.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
But we will be down for a week then, so that'd be nice, yes.
Nice, very nice.
Great. Well, the thing is that it's been absolutely a privilege to speak to you. And for me, when you listen to this beautiful voice and then you realise that there is a beautiful person behind it, it really is just so enriching to realize that and you being so proactive over trying to spread the message, not just through song but through your teachings and your classes, seminars that you hold.
I'm just on the road like everybody else, but if I can share a few tools that people can pick up and use, then great. But I hope I'm not cultivating any kind of celebrity, because I think that would be damaging. But I'm just trying to become a humble practitioner like everybody else, and hopefully if enough of us get on that track and start to try and live it and do it, then we'll change the world. You know, we can. I do believe we can.
I totally agree, and this is why I'm so glad that we could listen to you today, because it's actually, people often find it very difficult to know where to access, what I'll call practitioners of health, in the biggest sense of the word, and gets sort of what I'll call authentic beliefs, rather than, a lot of people are slightly cynical about, call it charges and value for money and so on and so forth. And I've always found, as myself as a dentist, it's very difficult to look at providing value And in health, it's so difficult. But I think if you come from it as you are, from the point of view of taking not only a holistic approach, but also, you know, my mission is to actually create some enlightenment and improvement to people's overall happiness and health, then I think that, you know, I don't think anyone can really knock it.
No, I agree. And, you know, and another thing I'd like to advertise, if I may, is the the massive online free library that the Reach Approach has provided over a 30-year period. So if you go to thereachapproach.co.uk, if you tap on resources, there is a huge library of incredible information on wellness, spiritual, mental, emotional, and environmental, and lots of research. It's just this huge online library that is available for free. So that's a good place to start.
Well, what struck me, if I may say so, is the fact that you virtually started at the highest, what I would call the spiritual, and is now looking at the holistic approach of including all the things. I've tended to start at the base level and think that if I can clear my mind, get my body more healthy, then I will, and I have, become a lot more spiritual. But I've had to detox to get there.
Yeah, well, I think probably your way round is probably, in a way, a more logical approach. I just went flying off for a few years. And then but because I am a seeker of truth, you can't build a house on foundations that aren't solid. So then it all had to kind of fall down a bit for a while. And then I had to go back to the basics of, okay, how do I take care of myself? How do I nurture myself? How do I look after myself emotionally, physically, as well as spiritually? But I had such amazing experiences. I wouldn't change it for the world. So.
And I think that often, and I've certainly found myself, that it's sometimes the adversities of life are what you really learn by if you use it as an experience, which you then can actually say, I've got a result from.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the way I try to remember to look at all challenges now as, okay, what can I learn? What am I learning? What am I being asked to learn here?
And what I would say is that as the integrated dentist, Lucinda knows an awful lot about mouth health. And if you ever, don't ask her when she's performing, but she really does know a lot about that the mouth is also very important for your overall health.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so happy that more and more dentists are getting on board with an integrated approach because it's so important.
And the thing is that I think that it's really we have, from the day I started, we were called the caring profession, and I think this is really what we have to convey, and I think we are getting there. And sometimes the public image isn't always quite what is actually what is on most practitioners' minds.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that's the case.
Well, Lucinda, this has been absolutely a privilege for me to speak to you and for our listeners. And we will actually play also some of your music. And if although I know you've repeated it many times, but can you say where we could find you in terms of especially on the website, so that in effect you know, we can actually access your all what you're doing, and hopefully people can pick up all sorts of things, like their albums and things like that as well.
Yep, it's lucindadrayton.com. That's the best place to find me. But I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and all the usual social media stuff. I'm not hugely active, but I do try and do a bit. But the best place to get hold of the work and to see what I'm up to in terms of my diary is lucindadrayton.com.
Oh, that's fantastic. That really is fantastic. And from me, the integrated dentist, thank you for listening, and really hope that this will really put you into a great mood for the Christmas season. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourselves a merry little Christmas. Make the thank you.
can see clearly.